This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Hallelujah. Overcoming the spirit of control. You see, beloved, this is why we needed the praise tonight, because the spirit of control wants to get you bound, that there's no freedom in Christ Jesus. And we're going to deal with that tonight. I think of Pharaoh, that master of control, that kept God's people bound and chained in that land of had as a hard taskmaster. And I think of Pharaoh with that spirit of control working through his life, holding God's people bound. But there came a day when God said, when he heard the cry of God's people, and he heard the cry of those that were bound by that spirit of control, that were subservient to that thing. But there was a cry that went above the power of the enemy, and God heard that cry one day, and we know the rest of the story is God destroyed that Pharaoh in the Red Sea. He just took those waters and just collapsed it right on that whole army. And beloved, that's what God will do with that spirit of control. I think of Nebuchadnezzar. When he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they put up that golden image of himself, and he said to everybody in the land, when I begin to play my music, you will bow. And I think of that spirit of control where over all the land, people had to bow as soon as that little instrument is played. When the band begins to play, then we are supposed to bow. And I just think of the enemy when he plays his tune and he says to you, you bow when I play my tune. But there came a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we won't do you any harm, O king, but we want you to understand that we will not bow to that spirit of control. There came a time when God rose up and so they threw them into that fiery furnace. And we know the story that there was one like unto the Son of Man in the midst of them. Beloved, I want you to know tonight that whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, God always raises up a standard. That even when things get seven times hotter, there is Jesus in the midst to stand with you. Hallelujah. I think of Haman who tried to hang Mordecai. And the very ropes that he tied and he knotted, he had to use on himself because God defeated the plans of the enemy. Every work of control comes to an end. And I think of Jezebel put to flight all the prophets of the Lord because that spirit of control operated through her life. But there came a time when God brought that spirit of control down and the prophet spoke to her and said, dogs will lick your blood. And sure enough, there came a day when that power was brought to nothing. Beloved, that is the story all the time in this world. The enemy seeks to bring you into a control. And it's a spirit. It can come through family members. It can come through the places where we work. It can come simply when I think of Job, when he feared in his heart, and we prayed about fear tonight. I think of Job when he feared, there was a fear in his heart because he thought that maybe when his children would begin to party that they would sin against God. And there are, we can understand when fear comes in, like with Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Haman or Alexander the coppersmith that did Paul a lot of harm. And we can think of this control that comes in by Jezebel. But beloved, the enemy is more subtle than just blatant attacks. We know that when the world says you need to bow to us, there's enough of the spirit of God within us that says, no, we're not going to bow to the spirit of this world. But there comes times when the enemy tries to get in more subtle measures. Even when we think of Job and how there is this. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so we see that this idea that Job gets up and he begins to offer sacrifices for each one of his children, because there was this fear that they would go into a place of sinning against God in their heart. And that this sense of this control comes in. How many of us fear that our families are going to go off the deep end, and so we bring in a spirit of control into the house? I just think back when I was, we were newly married and our families were being raised, and it comes in so subtly how the enemy came in, and in my heart there was this fear that maybe our kids wouldn't serve God. There's a tremendous pressure on pastors' kids that they all serve God and be holy. It's a pressure, beloved. It's something that comes upon us all as we know the scriptures. If you don't know how to rule your own household, how can you rule the house of God? And so we've got these scriptures, and the enemy uses them against us. And the consequence was, and when we were so young and we didn't have really an idea that the enemy would use even a good scripture against us, I remember controlling the family. It was this control that rises up on the inside, but it's the voice of the enemy. And there I was, using anger and using control to make sure my kids serve God. How many of you know that control doesn't cause anybody to serve God? It just doesn't work. And the harder I tried with the kids, the harder they pushed away from that spirit of control. I prided myself in the knowledge that as soon as they would come in to ask me anything, I knew that they were going to go sin in their hearts, and my answer was always, before they even asked a question, my answer would be, no. I knew that they were going to go out and sin. That's what I thought. And how many of us try to raise our children because the world is so evil, and so when we try to raise them, instead of raising them in love and the fear and the nurture of God, we raise them in a fear that is of our own making. And they don't respond to that kind of fear at all. I think of the control of friends. Many of you know that there are times when you call up that friend and you don't even know why you call them again. Because they operate out of that spirit of control. You get on the phone, you begin talking, and you fear to bring up another topic because it's going to cause you to be on that phone for another half an hour. As that spirit of control just takes a hold of their communication, and there's that control of certain friends, and you just don't want to go out to dinner with them. You love their company, but you just don't want to spend too much time because they dominate the whole communication. Or you're getting that controlling boss. I had one of those years ago when I was working. I was just newly saved, and I used to go to work, and you've heard that my testimony many times. I had that T-shirt on, you know, either you turn or you burn. And this boss hated me. I'm telling you, he didn't like it. It was so amazing. You see the duplicity in the workplace, where they can read novels and they can do almost anything, but once you bring out a Bible or anything that is Christian, you suddenly become the target of that controlling spirit. And here I would go on the job, and it was almost like I was hunted out of the pack just because he knew that I was a born-again believer, and it didn't matter what other people wore, but every time I would wear turn or burn or, you know, get saved, otherwise you're going to lose your life. I had all these kind of T-shirts. I grew up on those days when they had those little tracts. I used to leave them all around the office that people could know that there was a God in heaven. But here was this man, and there would be such a force and a power. And I think of so many who go into the workplace today, and you are in that place where there is a controlling spirit. You know it's not that person. You know, I knew when I saw that man when he would come down, I knew when he was walking down the sidewalk towards my office, I knew he wasn't going to talk to six or seven others who worked in the same office. You just knew that the attack was aimed at you, and you knew that this attack wasn't this man. You knew that behind this man, see, beloved, this is what God is going to give us tonight, is eyes to see that behind every working of control, it's not man that we're dealing with. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But behind these people, there is a spirit that is at work. I remember this man that came and he would walk down the sidewalk and he would come into the office, and I knew that that spirit was working behind him and he sought to control my life. He would put demands on me. My work was scrutinized more than anybody else's. I would come in the next day and there was always somebody to check our work because we were dealing with finances. And the next day I would come in and all of my work had all of these red tags stuck to them. Everybody would come in and take a look at all my work. It was a spirit that's behind it. You need to understand that when you are attacked on the job, beloved, it is not that man or that woman that is coming against you. You need to understand that behind them that there is a spirit of control that is trying to intimidate and bring you under its power. I remember many days just standing there, beloved. You see, the Christian, you've got to understand that the Christian has another force living within them. There might be a spirit of control behind that person, but behind this person is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I would just stand there and pray. I'd pray in my heart. God gave me baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would just pray in tongues while the guy was yelling at me. I would just start praying for him. And that would infuriate that spirit. There are those who can hardly wait. They never hear, in the church, you see those who can... They never hear the sermon. They can hardly wait for the end of the service because they want to bend your ear to their problem. They don't hear it. If they heard the sermon from this morning and this afternoon, they would be set free. It's an amazing thing to me that when we come into the house of the Lord, we can have the greatest prayer time, we can have the greatest worship time, we can have the greatest word preached to us. But it seems like there's some people who just don't hear or respond. And they can hardly wait for the service to be over and they catch you at the door. And if you leave or you try to look like you're disinterested, they begin to speak and say, well, you're not concerned about my problem. What happened in the service when the power of the Holy Ghost was here to set people free? And we understand that behind them is a controlling spirit. How about a controlling spouse? You just know that when you walk in the door, you're going to hear all about it until the light is turned off at night. It's a spirit. And Christians seem to be as vulnerable to being used by a spirit of control as the world is. It's so easy to understand a Nebuchadnezzar, a Pharaoh, or a Haman, or a Jezebel. But when you see it in your own household, I just think of husbands who control by the silent treatment, or tunes their wife out. Just, it's a control. Not listening to a thing that she's saying. And she's getting frustrated because she's trying to convey her heart, but he's controlling by silent treatment. It's a control. It's a spirit that comes in and gets a hold of men and women's minds. And there's this control that goes on with husbands towards wives. It just continues in the household and in so many ways. And you know, when I was preparing this message, it's not that I start thinking of going through the congregation of people that we've maybe counseled that have the spirit of control. It never works that way with me. It never works with me trying to figure out, well, who have I counseled just lately that has the spirit of control? It always seems that when I work on a message like this, that God is saying, look in your own heart and see how many times you controlled by a spirit of control. How many times that you gave the silent treatment? We think of wives who control with their incessant nagging. And when they call all of their sisters, or their girlfriends, and they talk about their husbands nonstop, I'm just sharing a need. And yet, you know, some women feel, I was talking with my wife on this, and we had a laugh on this, because it seems to be something inside of a woman to nag. That's a person that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ. I got to watch myself, because I got to go home tonight. So I'm being very careful to make sure that it's somebody distant. It's never my wife. It's always about me. I use the Spirit of control, but it's never about my wife. But how many women control the situation? My husband never does anything right. But how many times have you stopped to think of the many things that he does do right? Why is it always... why is it always on the negative? I remember the time that God spoke to my heart, and we had some intense fellowship, and I went down into the basement, and the way I used to deal with an argument, which we call intense fellowship, is that I would go down into the basement. I would just go lock away and get into some book. But you know, the Bible tells us all the time, and this is what God spoke to my heart on. It says, it doesn't matter if you walk away from that thing. See, even when we had intense fellowship, instead of resolving it in a Christ-like manner, I would go off down into the basement without a resolve. And you see, what I was doing is I was allowing the door of my house to be opened to a spirit of control. See, most people don't understand that. Most people think, well, I'm just going down to just allow these things to work themselves out. No, you're not. You're punishing the person that you haven't resolved the situation with. It's a spirit of control. It's an amazing thing that takes place in people's lives. I remember this one time I was in the basement and I got down. I got down on my knees to pray. And that scripture in Peter came very clear to my heart and mind. And he says, don't you realize that your prayers are hindered? That if you don't resolve the issue of your heart and you continue to control the situation by your silence, why do you think that your prayers are going to be heard by me? And God spoke to my heart and said, I tell you what I'll do. You go up and you apologize to your wife. You go and say, I'm sorry. You break this thing. Close the door to the enemy from getting into your household. Don't pray about, don't get down. I used to get down in the basement. God, resolve this problem. Lord, I pray against that spirit coming into our household. And God just stopped me in my tracks and said, stop praying about the issue. Just get up and go and apologize and say that you're sorry. And the moment that you do, your prayers will be heard. And beloved, it's amazing. As soon as I went back upstairs and apologized and I got down on my knees, all glory came into the house. Because that's how God works. Beloved, we cannot allow this spirit to get into our own hearts. And Christians, it's one thing to look at the world and to see all of these things and say, God, the world operates in this. And we won't bow to the knee, our knee to when the world comes in with that spirit of control upon us. But how do we handle it when some of you singles in your apartment, you go home tonight and you room with some other gal who is also serving the Lord with you, but there's something in your heart and you don't talk to each other? How many of you singles room with somebody where that spirit of control continues to work? How about some of you young men? You don't get your own way when you go dating or you go out with that young girl and she says, no, I don't want to hold your hand. I want you to serve the Lord. How many of you get something in your heart and you begin to resist that thing? And you operate out of a spirit of control. Beloved, this thing is as real as can be, whether it gets into the mind or gets into the will of a person. This thing is as real as anything. And it can come into the church and make havoc of the church because people won't resolve this thing. And it's so simple to resolve. And we're going to see that at the end of this message this night, is that it's so easy to resolve. Sometimes these things get so huge. We've had situations where the problem has looked so huge, but the answer is so simple. If somebody would just humble themselves and shut the door to the enemy. It's in that simple repentance and saying, God, forgive me. And go to the person and repent and ask for forgiveness. So the Apostle Paul in the third epistle of John, and this is where I want to spend some time in the third epistle of John. Go to Revelation, and then go left to Jude, and then you're going to get the third epistle of John. I was amazed that when I began to speak, when I prepared this message, I was amazed. When I read the scripture, I had forgotten about the scripture, and when I looked it up, I was amazed at what was going on. In the third epistle of John, it's a very small letter, there's only 14 verses, then you get Jude, then you get Revelation. This is the same apostle who wrote the Gospel of John. Now look at verse 9 and 10. I was amazed when I read the scripture again after so long a time. We see that the apostle John, this is the second letter, he said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. So here was a man who had found his way into this place. And I believe, beloved, that there is a theology today that is man-centered. That there is a theology in the world today that is completely man-centered. And I just wonder if this man did not succumb to a theology that was man-centered. Because here is this man who's in this church, and the scriptures say that he loves to have the preeminence. He loves to be the one in control. It is a spirit of control that is working over this man. In verse 10 it says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prodding against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. I thought to myself, it's an amazing thing that here is this man who has allowed the spirit of control to operate through his life. And I believe it's because of a man-centered doctrine that gave him the ability to stand in front and have the preeminence and not Christ. You won't find that in a Holy Ghost meeting, beloved. You won't find it where the Word of God is being preached, because this man, he doesn't receive the brethren. He speaks against leadership. He doesn't receive the brethren who come in with the Word. He forbids them that would reach out to the speakers that came in. And if you cross this person, he casts you out of the church. And here we have this one individual. And we see this today in so many places around the world, that there is a man-centered gospel that gives these people power to resist the truth. You know why I think that he wouldn't allow speakers to come? I thank God for this church that we have every single service, we have different speakers. We allow others to come in and speak. You know why? Because there are areas in all of our lives that when Pastor Carter preaches, it stirred me up. And I heard him this morning. I was stirred again one more time. God, help me to see people how you see people. Stirred to the core. Thank God that we have so many speakers coming in. I think of Sister Teresa preaching this afternoon. The battle of kings, and how many kings in our own lives that we need to bring down by the power of the Holy Ghost. I think of Pastor William when he preaches from this pulpit, and how that God uses him to bring a mighty word to our hearts and convicts us. I love Pastor Patrick when he gets up and preaches. And there's this zeal for the knowledge of God and to see young people set free. I thank God when Pastor Tim preaches. I thank God when Pastor David preaches. I thank God when Pastor Claude Hood comes and preaches. You see, beloved, where the Word of God is being preached in its manifold ways, it gives us a chance to correct those things that God wants to deal with in our own hearts. So that there's no chance of the spirit of control is. But there is a doctrine today in the world that is man-centered, that allows man to have the preeminence. And this is why he doesn't allow these other speakers to come in, because he doesn't want to be exposed. I want to be exposed in areas where I'm not lining up to Christ. I can hardly wait for the gospel to be preached by one of these men or women that come and preach the gospel. Because I don't always see, I don't always have a view on the blind spots that are in my own heart and life. I don't want pride to get in my heart. I don't want to be speaking maliciously against other people. I don't want these things in my heart and life. So I can hardly wait for somebody else to get up and preach the gospel. It gives a chance for me to correct the areas in my own heart and life. But this man won't have anything to do with it. Now, so the Apostle John, when you take a look at this, he brings out some areas. And so how do we stop from being used by the enemy? How do you stop the enemy from using your life in that spirit of control? How many of you would put your hand up tonight and say, Pastor, I've never used control over anybody? Don't put your hand up because you may have lied. You see, we can all be used of the enemy. It can happen to every one of us. That spirit of control, controlling somebody else's life by your behavior, by your attitude, by your words. Well, how? So the Apostle Paul, he shows how the door is open to the spirit of control. In verse 9, as we read here about this man, it says that he loves to have the preeminence. So the first thing that we understand is don't love the limelight. Love the true light. Be in love with Jesus. Don't love the preeminence. Love the true light, which is Jesus Christ. Do you know how beautiful my wife becomes? Well, she's already very beautiful. I gotta watch tonight. I'm very thin ice. But do you know how more beautiful she is to me? When I have spent time in the presence of the living God. You see, when I'm in the presence of God and I'm allowing His Spirit to correct me, to touch me, to minister to my heart, then when I come out of that, you all look beautiful. It's so wonderful to see you. You're all gorgeous. You're all handsome. You're all beautiful. Amen. But when you haven't been in the presence of the Lord, how ugly people look. Their attitudes are ugly. People on the subway are ugly. New Yorkers are ugly. All the visitors are ugly that come to New York City. It's just an ugly life is when you haven't been in the presence of God. And so when we are not in the presence of God, we open the door to that controlling spirit that will control us by how we see other people. The second thing we see in this verse here, it says he loved the preeminence. So, number one, God, I want Christ to have the preeminence in my life. The second thing he says here about this individual who's been used of the enemy, he says that he speaks against us with malicious words. So the second thing is don't let the devil use your mouth in destructive words. And we see this man is being used. And in fact, the word here is, the word prodding is, or the word malicious here is poneros, which means evil. Words authored by the devil himself. And so here we have an individual who supposedly at one time was saved, serving God, loving God. This man at some point might have had a true conversion and was loving the Lord. But today we see that he is being used by the enemy. That the very words that he is speaking are authored by the devil himself. And beloved, I deal with people. I've dealt with my own heart as I've illustrated tonight. That how many times that when we are out of sorts, how we allow the enemy to even put words in our mouth that we speak. And we use those words to condemn. Malicious words. Evil words. Words that are destructive. But it's yet in the presence of God. We come out that we've been with Him and we allow Him to temper our heart and our life that we don't have those words. Let me read a scripture to you from the Old Testament. I'm not going to ask you to turn there for the sake of time. But listen to this scripture as we think of this man who speaks these evil words. You see, I have a personal conviction in my heart that when we allow the enemy to use us with evil words, it's a rape that God, that the enemy is using, that God wants to remove from our hearts. Not a sexual rape, but we are raping from people that dignity, that sense of, I think of how many kids who are just berated by an individual. And there's that stripping from their hearts and their lives, that which is of what God would want to build them up and give them a hope and a future. And yet with our words, we can be so highly destructive. And so we see that it's an enemy. This is how the enemy gets in, is through our words. It's not that these words are just going to go out there and do things, but words are like a sharp sword that go deep into the heart. How can the same well bring out salty water as well as fresh water? How can you be saying, honey, I love you, I just think you're great, then what are you doing? How does this thing work? Why do we... See, the enemy, when he comes in and through words, words are some of the most powerful things on the face of the universe. And we don't have to go to the extreme as some theologies have done today. No, no, no. But the moment that we start berating somebody or using our words in a destructive manner, that those words go deep into the heart, in the soul of a being. How many people are here tonight will stand before this altar and say, God, there was somebody who spoke something into my life and I've never forgotten it. That hurt just went so deep down into the very core of the being. You see, beloved, that person may not have fully intended that. Words that are spoken in the heat of anger are never intended for the use that it goes out. But the enemy catches those words. It's almost like behind those words, I've dealt with people in the heat of anger. They say, I want a divorce. They don't really want a divorce. They use those words for protection, or they use those words to defend themselves. But those words are taken, and the enemy is right there to snatch those words and to force that into the heart and soul of another individual until they are crushed under the weight. How many people tonight have been crushed by the weight of some word that was spoken evil against you? And we know that it wasn't that person, but behind that there is a work of hell itself. Because he wants to silence you. He wants to bring you under his power, that spirit of control, that your life is controlled. But tonight, beloved, I thank God he's going to break every one of those forces of hell itself. Number three, he doesn't receive the brethren. Oh, in Micah, I was going to read this scripture to you in Micah. Let me read this to you. Listen to what it says. He's talking to these people who have walked away from truth. And he says to them that you should have known judgment. This is Micah chapter 3 verse 2. Who hate the good and love the evil. Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. And so here the prophet is saying that there are people who walk away from the knowledge of truth. And when they walk away from the knowledge of truth, they begin to hate that which is good and love that which is evil. And then the very things that they begin to do and say is like peeling the skin off other people. It's the tearing of somebody else's life by how they communicate. You've got to understand, beloved, that this isn't just a message, but this is something that I feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us again and again and again. That don't be suckered in by the devil, that you think that your words that you speak are not powerless. No, they are very powerful because people receive them and are hurt by them. I think of, in the same scriptures, it talks about here, the women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses, and from their children have ye taken away my glory forever. It just seems like when the prophet was dealing with the situation of those that had allowed themselves to walk away from a spirit of truth and allow the enemy to use them, that the glory of God is taken away from these little ones. God's desire in all of the earth is to have his glory revealed to you in your life. He loves it. He wants out of the words of Christians and believers to be able to communicate that which God truly is. That when we go on to the workplace, and even though we may get troubled or in our home and things are troubling you, still speak that which is right so people are edified. And God's glory is shown in that home and in those lives. Number three, don't reject people. Here this man wasn't receiving the brethren. Do you know, it's a door to a spirit of control to reject people. It's so within the human heart to reject others. It's in the deep recess of our heart when someone displeases us that we want to reject them. What is it within our flesh that when somebody has hurt us, we would rather run a million miles than face them? And you've all been walking down with your cart in a grocery store and you've seen the person who wounded you. It's amazing how you back up to check the price on something else. Amazing. Now, if you just pushed forward and said, hi, there was this man who would drive by and he didn't like us and he would drive by and I caught him one day. He didn't like my dog. My dog barked at the fence all the time. And the one time I was walking down to the, we had this huge hedge, and as he was driving by, he actually drove his car towards my dog to incite my dog. And there was this everything inside him. He says, I'll reject you, buddy. It's in the human heart that when people hurt you, to reject them is to push them out. And we've all, like I said, we've all been in that situation with our cart. And we see somebody, we can resolve it in a moment of time. Forgive me. I love you. Great to see you. We can resolve the issue in a moment of time. But we allow the enemy to bring in that spirit of control that begins to control you. It's controlling you. How many of you will go to bed at night and press the replay button just one more time? You lie in your bed and who's been controlled? Oh, it might have been a silly incident with family or relatives or somebody you work with or somebody else in the vicinity. It might be a silly little incident. But who's been controlled? You've got to understand that behind it is an enemy. You've been controlled. The enemy seeks to control you. How many of you, 2 o'clock in the morning, you still can't sleep? Always hitting the replay button. Going over and over and over and over the situation. Rejecting people. How many of you won't sit next to certain people? You come to church hoping that a church this size, you won't bump into that person. But it's just like God to cause you to run right into them. It's amazing how that happens. 8,000 people come to this church on any given Sunday. We'll come through these doors. Well, I'm going to miss the 10 o'clock and the 3 o'clock because I don't want to see that person. I'm going to go to the 6 o'clock service. That person wakes up in the morning and says, I'm so tired, I think I'll miss the 10 o'clock. I'm going to go for lunch and miss the 3 o'clock service. I'll go to the 6 o'clock. You see, you're being controlled by the enemy, but God is controlling the circumstance because He wants to be glorified in the situation. And you run bang right into that person. And God says, deal with it. It's just a simple, I'm sorry, it's great to see you. Please come sit with me tonight. Amen? And God deals with it. All right. The fourth one is, don't let your offenses sour your offering. Don't let your offenses sour your offering. It's so easy to pick up an offense. This man picked up an offense somewhere. And he was being used of the enemy, speaking malicious words. He wasn't receiving the brethren. He refused others to communicate with other people. And then he put them out of the church if they didn't go well. He was being used by the enemy. You see, beloved, sometimes our offenses can sour our worship or our offering to God. Don't let the things that offend you sour your worship of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17 that offenses are going to come. We live in a world where people live. If there wasn't people, we wouldn't have problems. Have you ever thought about that? Just think, if we could get on the subway and there weren't any people, we wouldn't have a problem in the world. Go to work, there was no people at work. We could just do our job just as freely as anything. Walk down the streets and there's no people. But then you have to wonder, did the rapture take place and you were left? Let me tell you how the Apostle John deals with the situation. He says this. He uses this word beloved three times, and it means loved of God. And so when Apostle John writes this short little letter, he uses this word beloved actually four times. And he says, and this is the simplicity on how you deal with the spirit of control. It's so simple. It's never complicated in Christ. It might be all hell breaking out against you. But he says in verse 1, whom I love in the truth. He says, beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. In other words, be a lover of those who love truth. You may have to find new friends. You may have to go out and say, God, the people that I'm with, I can't be friends with him anymore. But he says, I love this man. His name means Christian. I love this man who's a Christian because he's in the truth. And there may be a time that you're going to have to make new friends and find those who are lovers of truth. I love walking with these men. I love it because every time there's hardly a conversation that we have outside of the Word of God. We always are talking about the things of the Lord. I love them. These are brethren, precious brethren. Why? Because we are in the truth. We love the Word of God. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee. Beloved, it's one thing to hear truth. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm in the truth, I'm a Christian. Bad mouth somebody, but I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm in the truth. But the enemy is using things to control my life and control other people. So it's one thing to say I'm in the truth. But is it true to say that the truth is in you? See, this is what John says. If you want to know how to be set free from the spirit of control, it's allow the truth of Jesus Christ to be in you. Allow this thing to come into your heart. Don't fight it. So tonight, if you've been listening to the Word and you know that you've offended somebody or somebody's offended you, do you know that the Bible says it doesn't matter if you offended somebody or somebody offends you, or if you know somebody has an offense against you, that you have to go to them? Did you know that? Don't get quiet. So right now, the Bible says you've got to go. Now, it's one thing to say, well, I'm in a place of truth. And thank God this house is a place of truth. But is the truth in you? Do you let it abide in you? And he says, this is what I rejoice. John says, I rejoice greatly because the brethren came back and said, when I spoke to this person, the truth was in them. They were saying, they were willing to live by the word. And sometimes the word is hard. Sometimes it's cutting. Sometimes the word of God is not easy to digest. God never said it was going to be just a honey cake that you can eat. Sometimes the word is hard to digest. And you've got to deal with some issues. He goes on to say, even as thou walkest in the truth. So beloved, if we're in the truth and the truth finds its mark in us, then it's going to cause you to walk in that truth Monday, Tuesday, service, praise God. Wednesday, Thursday, intercession, praise the Lord. Friday, Pastor William, hallelujah. Saturday, and then Sunday. That when you allow the truth to have a place in your heart, it'll cause you to walk every single day with Jesus Christ. Jesus in the morning, you go to the job, and you've had a bad day, Jesus at lunchtime. The afternoon is so long, every 5 minutes you're looking at your watch thinking 2 hours must have gone, it's been 3 minutes. But he's still there in the afternoon. Because the word that is in you will keep you wherever you walk. It's not just at a service tonight, but the word that you receive will help you walk it out every single day. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Who's controlling you? Who's controlling your life right now? An attitude? A hurt? The enemy? Or is it the Word of God? Or is it God's Word? Tonight, beloved, you see, John, he didn't have to come and deal with the issue. He knew that if I sent the Word to them, the Word will deal with every attack from hell itself. Tonight, receive the Word and be free. Might be hard to digest, but it'll set you free. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, tonight there are some who are pressing the replay button again and again, rehearsing those hurts from years back. But tonight you have determined to break that spirit of control off of their lives. Lord, tonight there are those on the job that are under such pressure from bosses who seek to control their very life. But Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight, no matter what kind of Nebuchadnezzar puts pressure on us, you will always be with us there in the fire. And I ask you tonight, Lord Jesus, that there are some that are going back to apartments where there are issues. There are wives going back to husbands where there are issues. There are husbands going back where wives have issues. There are young people who are going with somebody else and there's issues. But tonight, Lord, we're not going to give place to the enemy. We're going to let you set us free by letting your word destroy every stronghold of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. God's spoken to you. These altars are open. We're going to pray tonight that every stronghold of the enemy, whether it's a boss, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's someone close to you, you've been hurt and wounded, and God wants to set you free. These altars are open tonight. We're going to pray with you. Just go to either side of the exit. Those in the annex, you come on over to us here. You step on down. That spirit of control over your life where you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't think at times is going to be broken because you've chosen to receive a word of truth in Jesus' name. This life is too short. It's going to be over in a moment, in a heartbeat. And then before long, we stand before the Maker who will reveal everything that went on in our life. And it is so easy to be used of the enemy. It's so easy. At a drop of a hat, we're so easily offended, caught up in difficulties. We can hurt and we can speak maliciously at a drop of a hat. But I have resolved. See, sometimes we want just a quick fix. God, just remove this from me. But you see, some of the working of the Holy Spirit is to work in you a resolve that says, God, I am not going to be used of the enemy. I'm not. This temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to let this vessel be used of the enemy. And offenses are going to come. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be some kind of an offense that's going to come. And it's going to try to get me on the very word that I preach. But I have resolved in my heart that God will be quick to show me that when it comes up, to deal with it. Now, some of you, you can press, instead of pressing replay, tonight you press stop. No more play. Stop. And say, never again is the enemy going to use this in my life to destroy me. You may have to write a letter. You may have to make a call. You may have to try to seek a person out. But do it. Write the letter. Call the person. Pray about it. And God will do the miraculous. You'll be going one way and He'll cause that person to come right in front of your mind, in front of your life, and you are pressing the stop button today. And never again are you going to be controlled, not by a boss, not by a relationship, not by evil circumstances. You're free. Stay free in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray this with me now. Lord Jesus, I am not going to allow the enemy to use my life. I make a choice by your Holy Spirit that my life will be a vessel with which you can flow your forgiveness, your kindness, your love, your gentleness, your meekness, in fact, all the fruit of your Spirit can flow through my life. Now, Lord Jesus, I press the stop button. No longer will the enemy find a place in me to control me. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me where I've controlled others. Give me the victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that the power of the enemy is not only exposed, but broken in Jesus' name. That, Lord, he will not use any one of these, your people, tonight again to inflict pain through words or attitudes or to hold people captive by a controlling spirit. But neither will they be controlled either. That, Lord, when the enemy comes to try to control them, that you will rise up as a mighty warrior and destroy every work of hell facing against them. Lord, I think of people right now who are planning destruction of these lives. I think that there's right now, Lord, I know by the Spirit that there's people, even family members, that are being used by the enemy against these, your people. But Lord, you tonight will rise up as a mighty warrior against every work of the enemy, especially on the job, Lord, where there are co-workers and there are bosses and there are people who are being, we know, are being used by the devil himself. But God, you will face the devil off yourself in Jesus' name. That God, as we submit to you, you will fight every battle. Every work of hell shall be fought by your Spirit. Lord, we don't have to contend with the devil. You contend with him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, God, your people are free, and we make a choice to stay free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now give him thanks, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
This is the conclusion of the message.